This is the Rookie Big Board. I'm your host, Matt Higgs, the FF Educator, here for our Day 3 Reactions episode. I'm rocking this one solo, and I gotta be honest, folks, it's a little bit of a celebration episode for me because I just published the 2024 Rookie Guide, updated with landing spots for all 84 rookies in the guide. So anybody we're going to talk about in this episode, you can head on over to patreon.com/rookiebigboard to see a full player profile on them, as well as, of course, all the top players that went day one and day two. If you have not subscribed, if you have not checked out patreon.com/rookiebigboard, especially if you have been listening to these episodes all year long, if you're listening to an episode on day three reactions for fantasy football landing spots, this is the place for you. Just 1 month, just give it a shot. Subscribe, get the rookie guide, unsubscribe. I promise you're going to get there, you're going to love the resources, and you're going to hang around. I know that. So that's why I make it just $5 to get the rookie guide over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. Okay, I had to start with the plug because, like I said, it's a celebration. I barely slept all weekend long, and I am so ready. I love the day three reaction episode, and I do it solo just because I just want to fire through all of these guys, and I want to get my take off on all of them because these guys are going to be going off the board second, third, fourth rounds of your rookie drafts, and I know those are coming up starting today for most folks, so I want to get you that insight analysis, so let's go ahead and do it. Jatavion Sanders went off the board, pick 101 to the Carolina Panthers. I like this landing spot. Sanders is athletic. He's a good pass catcher. And I think Bryce Young could really use him underneath. So Sanders worked out as a low-end tight end two in my projections. Troy Franklin, 102. I got to tell you, this one, of course, hurt how far this draft capital was. Being completely transparent, I thought Troy Franklin could have been a first-round NFL draft talent. Clearly, the NFL felt differently. He did slide down the rookie big board rankings, but he's down to wide receiver 10, which sounds bad, but in this class, it's still really good. I'm going to take him at the round two, round three turn. The good news is the landing spot, right? He lands with Denver. He reconnects with his college teammate, Bo Nix. They lit it up together at Oregon, so the chemistry's there. The volume is there. We had to wait for Troy Franklin, but if we were going to wait, this is what we wanted to wait for. Theo Johnson, next fantasy-relevant player off the board here to the New York Giants. This one is really interesting, especially if Darren Waller does confirm his retirement. Theo Johnson plugs right in there. Athletic, nice catch radius. He's comfortable working over the middle of the field. We know Daniel Jones needs every target that he can get. And so although I'm not expecting that year one breakout from Theo Johnson, he definitely could be one of these tight ends that comes into his production year two, year three. Definitely worth stashing. Targeting him late third, early fourth rounds, it might be a little bit lower than consensus, but that's where I'm comfortable taking him. A favorite of many, Javon Baker, went off the board 110 to the New England Patriots. If you like Javon Baker going into the draft, you should be happy with this draft capital. I know folks were pushing for day two draft capital. I never felt that was in play for Baker, but I really like this fit with Drake May. You look at when Drake May was most successful at UNC is when he had a field stretcher on his team. Let's go back to 2022 with Josh Downs. Now, obviously, Downs plays inside. Baker's going to play outside. But I could see him fitting that type of role for Drake May once he's on the field. So Baker's somebody who I don't think is going to pop in September. But as we get into October, November, I think he's going to have some pretty good weeks. I would say, even if you're a Baker fan, wait till the third round. Don't take him in the second round. It's not a knock on Baker. There's just other options out there. DeVontez Walker goes off the board to the Baltimore Ravens. Somebody did not tell Harbaugh that they had Rashad Bateman at home. Like, DeVontez Walker, to me, is just 70% Rashad Bateman. And y'all know I do not like Rashad Bateman. Walker is low on the rookie rankings. He is down to wide receiver 26 just because I don't want you to touch him. I don't want you to think about it. I wouldn't take him before like the sixth round of rookie drafts. I'm all the way out on Tez Walker. Eric All to the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm all the way in on Eric All. All right, so he went to Michigan. He went to Iowa. He's got that tight end pedigree. He's super athletic. He's a great move tight end. He's a great pass catcher. If you look at the Bengals the last couple of years, they've been looking for this kind of guy, right? Like, they signed Gesicki. I forgot who it was, but they had an athletic guy before Gesicki that I'm forgetting about now. And I think all is better than those guys. I think he projects, into the role a lot better. There's targets underneath. Remember, we were all excited about the idea of Brock Bowers to Cincinnati. It's obviously not Brock Bowers, but I think Eric All as a fourth round target could really pay off for fantasy purposes. Jalen Wright to the Miami Dolphins. You know, I tweeted out the Lightning McQueen meme, like, I am speed, right? Mike McDaniels is speed, and Jalen Wright is speed. He's coming from the Josh Heupel offense at Tennessee, which was wide open gaps and space, and he could get going. And you know that Mike McDaniels is going to try to do the same thing there, create gaps, create space, give Jalen Wright a runway to build up his acceleration, because that's what he needs. You don't want Jalen Wright running in between the tackles. I'm sure McDaniels will get him to the outside. What you have to understand here is that you do still have Achane. You do still have Raheem Mostert. They extended him before the draft. So it's not that Jalen Wright's coming in to replace Raheem Mostert, and there are touches to go around. I can see it already. I think Wright's going to go in like the late second round of rookie drafts because of that Miami name. I'm not touching him until the late third round of rookie drafts, so I don't expect to have any exposure to Wright. I just can't project the volume, and I was lower on his tape review all the way through, and I've watched every single snap he's played over the last couple years as a Tennessee Volunteers fan. AJ Barner to the Seahawks at 121. Not going to spend too much time on that. He is primarily a blocking tight end. Cade Stover, 123 of the Texans. I like Cade Stover a lot. He's a two-way tight end. He can block, but he's also a really nice pass catcher. The word here is that C.J. Stroud, who was Cade Stover's teammate at Ohio State in 2022, lobbied for the Texans to add Cade Stover. Now, obviously, we have Dalton Schultz, and he's been very successful in that role. So I don't expect Stover to replace him, but I do think Stover could contribute early on as a tight end, too, in this Texans offense. Bucky Irving, a very exciting pick for many people, went off the board, pick 125, so we're still in the fourth round here. This one really confused me because I think the way Bucky Irving wins is similar to the way that Rashad White wins. So, you know, we say all the time here, if you are a Bucky Irving fan, this is your good news. We say all the time, if you're looking at a guy that you're drafting in like the third round or the fourth round of your rookie drafts, you want to just be able to see a path forward to production, right? So the argument here for Bucky Irving is that if Rashad White misses time, Bucky Irving should be able to pick up in a similar run style, and you know, they don't have to re-scheme, they don't have to change anything up about the offense. He can just step right in and start filling that Rashad White role, which, as we know, is a very valuable role to have for fantasy football purposes. White was PPR running back 5 last year. I think either way, Irving will be a spellback. He'll get on the field. He'll have the chance to flash. So I liked Bucky Irving's tape. I didn't love it. But at the right price, like mid-third round, I'll definitely get some exposure to Bucky Irving. Will Shipley to the Philadelphia Eagles, the next fantasy-relevant player off the board. I get this from an NFL perspective. I think if you're going to have want a running back that kind of gives you, you know, 40% of Saquon Barkley as a rotational type guy, I think Will Shipley fits that a lot. There's not much there for fantasy purposes. Ray Davis, off the board, pick 128 to the Buffalo Bills. Folks, this is wheels up. Nobody's talking about this. And this is why it is so important and why I always, always put the rookie into my seasonal projections before I tell you the value and the ranking that I put on him. Because I know you think off the bat, well, James Cook's there, it's going to be busy. James Cook, you know, he had about 40% of the rushing share on the ground last year. Who else on that Buffalo offense is going to touch the ball? Ray Davis is going to come in, and he's going to have, you know, 35-40% of that rushing, 40 might be heavy. Let's say 30-35%, you know, being realistic. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So if you go in there and you give him 32%, he's going to have 720 yards. He's going to have 5 rushing touchdowns, because I do think he's going to be the goal line back instead of James Cook. So there's room for both of those guys to be productive fantasy running backs, but Ray Davis right now is running back 4 for me in the rookie big board, and I think for a lot of folks, he's still an afterthought. We really got to catch up on that line of thinking. 129, Isaac Grendo goes to the San Francisco 49ers. I think I called this in the rookie big board draft hangout. It was the end of day 2, and I was joking that Grendo was going to get drafted by Shanahan, because it's just that, you know, it's like that Tyrion Davis Price pick. It's the oh, who was the other Jordan Mason pick? There was somebody else. It's just these super, you know, fast, like one trait type running backs. And, you know, Shanahan is convinced that if he can get them to hit, then they'll hit. And he's right. But I'm not doing the Garendo thing. We've chased the backup San Francisco running back so many times. And that was even before CMC was there. So you can draft him. I do think people will get excited about it, but I'm not going to do that. Jerod Wiley, Kansas City Chiefs. Now we're working towards the back end of the fourth round here. Pick 131 overall. Jerod Wiley out of TCU. You know, he's an exciting guy. He's an athletic tight end. You can move him all around the field. He's got nice hands, not super physical. So a lot of folks have been saying he is the Travis Kelce replacement. Listen, if you want to draft Jerod Wiley because you like his tape profile and you like the idea that he's in the Kansas City offense, that's fine. Do not draft Jerod Wiley with the idea that he's going to be Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce isn't Travis Kelce because of a scheme or that he just plugs in perfectly to the Andy Reid offense. Andy Reid understands who Travis Kelce is and he builds a scheme around him, right? Just like he's going to understand who Jerod Wiley is and he's going to get him touches and he's going to get him involved in the game. But Jerod Wiley is not going to be in the Travis Kelce role. And I don't want you to draft him thinking that if you wait 2 or 3 years, you're going to get Travis Kelce type production. A little bit of a surprise here with pick 132, Sione Vaki out of Utah gets drafted. Now, Vaki was really considered a safety prospect for most. He was announced as a running back prospect for the Lions, so you will have a running back designation. But I do believe Vaki will primarily be playing on special teams, so I wouldn't even consider him in your fantasy drafts. Pick 134. Pick 134. Braylon Allen, a free fall here to the New York Jets. And now this is an important conversation because, you know, I will talk about my hits and I will talk about my misses. I thought Braylon Allen was a day two pick. And even in a weak running back class, he was my running back one. I'm not going to back off of that take. In terms of tape, in terms of pre-draft process, I would do it again. But you have to be realistic, you have to be flexible, you have to be willing to pivot when the NFL tells you what you don't want to hear. And with Braylon Allen, the round four draft capital isn't the problem. The problem is that he's going to an offense, right, with the New York Jets, who have a top five, we'll say, you know, running back in the NFL in Breece Hall. And now, behind Breece Hall, it's Izzy Abanaconda, who is not a threat for me. I think Braylon Allen's a better running back than him. And we'll get to the other running back who went to the Jets a little bit later. I have a sneaky suspicion that Robert Saleh and Woody Johnson have a subscription to the rookie big board. But that's not the point here. My point is that you have to adjust. You have to pivot. And so Braylon Allen did move down the board. He was my running back one pre-draft. He's down to my running back nine. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to draft Braylon Allen, right? Because I'm going to trust my eyes. I'm going to trust my tape evaluation. And I'm going to draft him in the fourth round. So when there's a prospect who you love pre-draft and it doesn't work out for them during the draft, the correct process is to stay on them but take the discount. And so that's what I'm going to do with Braylon Allen here. I mentioned it with Bucky Irving. Anytime we're talking about day three running backs, it's, okay, what happens if the guy in front goes down? Do you believe in the talent? Do you believe in the scheme? Do you believe in the relative competition where if Breece Hall does go down, miss time, that Braylon Allen can step up and be the lead back and have significant volume and produce? I believe in all of those things. So in the fourth round, that's the type of running back that I'm willing to take. Jacob Cowing goes off the board, 135 to the San Francisco 49ers. That will end the fourth round here. Jacob Cowing in the fourth round to the San Francisco 49ers would be absolutely fantastic. I'd be jumping up and down to get overexposure to him. If Ricky Pearsall had not been drafted previously, you know, at the end of day one. But even if both of those guys had been drafted, I also would have been fine with it if either Ayuk or Debo had been traded, right? Because right now, with Ayuk, Debo, and Pearsall on the field, Pearsall to me is the slot guy, and Jacob Cowing is also a locked-in slot guy. So if Ayuk or Debo move off, right, or traded or otherwise move on from the 49ers, then Pearsall can bump to the outside, and Jacob Cowing can play in the slot. So, you know, if you're willing to wait a year, drafting Jacob Cowing in the fourth round or even making him a priority fab bid after the draft, or if you play in 5 or 6 round leagues, That's the type of spot that I'm willing to take Jacob Cowan, because I definitely do like his tape a lot still. All right, folks, moving on to round five here. We had a little bit of a run of non-fantasy relevant players, but then Anthony Gould goes off the board, 142 overall to the Indianapolis Colts. I like Gould's tape. He's twitchy. He's got downfield acceleration. In this Colts offense, I think he was drafted for a special teams role, but, and I'm going to mention this a few times, especially as we get into round six and seven, right? When I say drafted into a special teams role, that doesn't always mean I don't want to draft them for fantasy, because the positive side of being in a locked-in special teams role is you're going to make the 53-man roster, and when you make the 53-man roster, you're there at practice. The coach gets to know you, right? You have the opportunity to learn the playbook, to get schemed up, and then if guys go down on the wide receiver or running back or whatever depth chart in front of you, then you have the ability to step in and take advantage of those opportunities quicker than a guy being promoted up from the practice squad or signed on from another team. So Gould, you know, not a priority add, but again, in 5-6 round leagues, that is somebody who I would be looking to add a bit later. Somebody who I am looking to add, a good landing spot for Audric Estime. Now, I liked Audric Estime's tape relative to the class. I wasn't super high on him, but he is coming in at running back 10 in my post-draft rankings. I like the Denver landing spot. They have an out for Javonte Williams after next season. That, you know, Javonte Williams is an inherited running back from the last coaching staff. Those guys tend not to always get second contracts. And Estime, either way, should get volume because Javonte Williams has never been, you know, a 55-60% runner. He's missed time with injury. So, you know, again, you can realistically see Audric Estime getting to some fantasy production. Pick 150, Spencer Rattler. This one, you know, I don't know. I think there were compounding factors. You know, I think if you shook up the draft and you know, randomized it a few different times, that, you know, Spencer Rattler wouldn't always fall to the fifth round, but he falls to the fifth round. It seemed like that QB1 documentary, you know, really factored into the way GMs thought of him. I think what hurt him more is that six quarterbacks went off the board in the first round, right? And so that just eliminates a ton of need. And so he just was off a lot of boards, right? Either teams that didn't need quarterbacks or teams that had already invested early draft capital in quarterback. Either way, Spencer Rattler, he ends up with the Saints. It's not the worst situation ever to be in. You know, Derek Carr is locked into that contract for a while, but if Rattler shows up, he pops in preseason, another team could look to trade for him, could look to poach him, or, you know, the Saints could just have him sit for a little while and kind of be that, you know, eventual successor for Derek Carr. I mean, he probably still wouldn't have to wait as long as Michael Penix is going to have to wait, quite frankly. Also, it's just a hilarious, just a quick note before we move on to the next guy. It's just going to be a really hilarious combination because Spencer Rattler is an absolute gunslinger, believes in his arm. Nobody can ever tell Spencer Rattler that a throw is a bad throw to make. He's going to make that throw, and oftentimes it pays out for him. Derek Carr will throw the ball away at his first opportunity. That man refuses to put the ball into a tight window. He's not willing to risk that touchdown interception ratio. And so just the two mentalities between those guys is just absolutely hilarious. 152, pick 152. This is a gold star here. You know, we did the gold star on Ray Davis, a gold star here on Anaya Smith, the wide receiver at Texas A&M. Smith is twitchy, he's athletic, he's got good hands, and he's physical over the middle of the field. There's a clear role. Clear role for Anaya Smith in the Philadelphia Eagles offense. You got A.J. Brown on the outside. You got Devontae Smith on the other side. They have struggled to find that guy in the slot over the middle of the field that is going to be able to consistently produce for them, be a reliable underneath option and a creative a play-calling weapon. And that is Anaya Smith in the Philadelphia Eagles offense. So I really, really like that pick. Nobody's talking about him. I'm not leaving my fourth round without Anaya Smith. I mean, I'm probably going to have 75%+ exposure to him. Probably the only leagues I'm not going to get him in are the rookie big board leagues and the patron leagues, because now I have told you all, not that I've kept it a secret by any means. Jamari Thrash, 156. Really like Jamari Thrash tape going into the draft. He lands in a pretty crowded wide receiver room, but at the same time, you know, Jerry Judy's there, Elijah Mitchell's there, Cedric Tillman's there, and obviously Amari Cooper. So let's put Amari Cooper to the side because he's proven he's produced in Cleveland. Moore, Judy, Tillman, they have not. So although Thrash probably starts the season maybe as the wide receiver 4 in a less than ideal passing attack, he could possibly finish the season as wide receiver too. You know, so there is a little bit of potential there. I'm willing to go ahead and get some exposure to Jamari Thrash late, but not as much, you know, as I would have, you know, heading into the draft. 165, Rasheen Ali goes to the Baltimore Ravens. I think that's a pretty fun pick there. You think of a spellback for Derrick Henry now that Gus Edwards is gone. Ali, you know, had a really nice Senior Bowl the first day before he gets injured. You go back and you watch his tape. You see a guy who's explosive at the second level of the field. You see somebody with good vision. And so if you can block up some space for him, he'll get moving. And he could be a really dangerous big play threat. The Gus Edwards fit is very clean, thinking about Rasheen Ali. 166, here's another gold star. Tyrone Tracy Jr. goes to the New York Giants. Folks, there is a ton of opportunity to contribute to the New York Giants running game. So I put Tyrone Tracy into the projection sheet here. I put him just at a very conservative estimate of 20% on the ground. And then here's the big thing. He's going to contribute through the passing game as well. So I put him 8% of the market share through the air. In total, that's going to get him about 125 touches, which is not a lot. It's a very conservative projection. And it'll still get him to about 625 total yards in about, you know, five total touchdowns. Somebody who's drafted that late, who's going to be an afterthought in most drafts, that's a really nice guy to be able to target in the back end of the third, the early fourth round of your rookie drafts. I'm going to leave with a lot of Tyrone Tracy Jr. Keelan Robinson lands with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think this is a purely special teams pick. He is a running back out of Texas. He didn't really even get on the field when Jonathan Brooks went down with injury last year. So not too much there on Keelan Robinson as the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bub Means. This is a name to know. He was one of the last guys I watched. I'm not going to pretend like Bub Means at a Pitt was the first wide receiver on my list, but he was one of the last guys I watched before the NFL draft, and I really liked his tape. He's a deep field specialist. He's got good hands. He accelerates well, and he lands in a Saints offense where there's legitimate opportunity and volume. Let's be honest. After Chris Olave, Bub Means is going to be fighting with Rashid Shaheed and A.T. Perry for targets. I absolutely think he can contribute right away as a rookie. Probably not going to go drafted in your first 48 picks, so, you know, make him a 0% fab or a $1 fab bid after the draft, and he's a really nice guy to stash on your bench. Jordan Travis is selected by the New York Jets. You know, this is an interesting pick because even before the injury with Jordan Travis, I was worried about, you know, he's got really wonky mechanics. I don't like to call somebody's mechanics wonky because it does feel mean, but they are wonky. They're inconsistent. You know, he's got an elongated throwing motion. He's got this weird, like, crow hop. I got to go back and look at his history. He must have played right field at some point, like in high school, because he's got a crow hop. You know, so all of that being said, you know, he's mobile. He doesn't have the best arm talent in the world, but, you know, if you like Jordan Travis, the good news is here, he's going to be essentially taking a red shirt this year, but it's Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor. You know, the Jets aren't locked up to either of those quarterbacks long term, so if he does impress, he could have a shot to start next season. Speaking of the Jets, they go ahead and not only take my guy Braylon Allen and put him behind Breece Hall, but then they go ahead and have the audacity, to take Isaiah Davis in the next round. My guy, Isaiah Davis. You know, there were still some juicy landing spots left, folks. The Dallas Cowboys, they didn't take a running back. You know, you look at the Chargers, they took a running back later. We'll get to them. But man, I love Isaiah Davis. But now I have to, you know, put him in the spreadsheet. And he's going to be below Braylon Allen. It's just a long path to relevancy for me with Isaiah Davis. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart. So that's what I said. You know, I really wish the Jets would stop listening to the Rookie Big Board podcast. Listen, I appreciate everybody who listens to the Rookie Big Board podcast. But if you're in the Jets front office, hit unsubscribe. Just make sure you leave us a 5-star review before you leave. All right, I mentioned that the Chargers landing spot. It went instead to Kamani Vidal, the running back out of Troy. Listen, folks are excited about this, and I understand because if a running back who I liked had gone to the Chargers, I got to be honest, I probably would have went a bit, you know, more wheels up on this. But I didn't like Kamani Vidal tape. I thought he was a little sluggish. You know, I think he's the type of, you know, he lacked burst. I didn't really see any big playability. And I think I know why Harbaugh drafted him, right? Because Harbaugh wants a guy when he puts him on the field as a rotational running back, he knows he's going to get him 2 or 3 yards, right, on first down. He's going to get him to 2nd and 7. That's the Harbaugh mentality. He's not looking for the guy who's either going to get his team to, you know, a 20-yard run or 2nd and 12. And so Kamani Vidal, he's going to get you 2 or 3 yards. What he's not going to do is take touches away from Gus Edwards. I left this draft understanding that Gus Edwards is the running back one for the Chargers, one of the biggest winners from this draft. I think J.K. Dobbins is going to be running back 2. Kamani Vidal is probably going to be running back 3. 182, Jaquan Jackson out of Tulane goes to the Tennessee Titans. He's a wide receiver, but this was a special team selection. If you watch Jackson's tape like I did, you're going to see a good punt returner. You're going to see a solid kick returner. And especially with these new special teams rules, Jaquan Jackson, he's going to be a special teams player first. 184, Malik Washington to the Miami Dolphins. I like this one. No, maybe not a gold star, but let's give this one a silver star. Yeah, I like this one. You know, in terms of volume, obviously Malik Washington, he's not going to pull targets from Jalen Waddle. He's not going to pull targets from Tyreek Hill, but you put him in the slot. He's fast. He separates right off the line of scrimmage. He gets a top speed very quickly, but he's got good hands. He's physical. He catches the ball in contested catch situations. I think Tua is going to like Malik Washington a ton. And if I think about the way that McDaniels could scheme up Malik Washington, assuming he's able to lock down that wide receiver 3 slot in that offense, we could be looking at a really, really dangerous NFL option. I'm not positive how that's going to translate in terms of volume over time for fantasy football purposes. But 4th round, 5th round, you know, fab bids after, Malik Washington should absolutely be a priority for you because he's absolutely a priority for me. I'll tell you who isn't a priority is Johnny Wilson. He went the next pick to the Philadelphia Eagles. Stonehands Johnny Wilson. Have not liked him through the entire process. Don't like him in the Eagles offense, if I'm being completely honest. I look at those hands, I look at that body frame, and I think to myself, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he still haunts me. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I can't get it out of my head. Listen, Johnny Wilson, best shot, move to tight end. Jace McClellan, running back out of Alabama, goes to the Atlanta Falcons. In my head, this is the Atlanta Falcons thinking, you know, it would be rough if our backup running back got injured. So how can we get most of Tyler Allgeier? Jace McClellan, that works. Not relevant for fantasy purposes. Casey Washington, wide receiver at Illinois. I gotta be honest, folks, I will raise my hand. I watched over 90 prospects in this cycle. Didn't watch Casey Washington. I got nothing for you on Casey Washington, the wide receiver at Illinois. They stumped me. The NFL, they did it. It was a tough one. Tajon Palmer, wide receiver at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. You know, Palmer had a lot of chatter throughout the pre-draft process. He's got some athleticism. He's got some hands. He's going to go to the Cardinals. Not the best landing spot. Not the worst landing spot, but I won't be targeting Palmer in my drafts. Joe Milton III goes to the New England Patriots. So you could look at this a couple different ways. You could look at Joe Milton and say, all right, you know, they're just trying to get another arm in the room. They're going to try to push Drake May a little bit. You could do the really weird thing that I heard some people doing and saying, well, the Commanders, you know, they drafted Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins in the same draft. That's not what's going on here. Or you could look at it the third way. And I want to clarify before I say this that I am not somebody who likes to tell prospects that they should or could or would, you know, convert from a quarterback prospect to a different position. Because if they want to play quarterback, they should play quarterback. And Joe Milton's got a big arm and he's got flashes of being positive as a quarterback. But if he moved to a tight end, that's a lot of athleticism. That's a lot of size. I imagine the Patriots might suggest that to him at some point. We'll see if he's receptive to that idea. Tight end Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona. Some athleticism. I think he's a solid blocker. I think he knows how to use his body well. He's got a good catch radius. He goes to the Bengals. I would have liked it more if Eric All hadn't gone to the Bengals earlier. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying I think the Bengals, you know, took him for his blocking ability first and foremost. And if you're looking at them and understanding that they are trying to solidify that running game post Joe Mixon, you know, with a 6th round pick, that's a pretty good investment of your 6th round pick. Jawar Jordan goes to Houston. I almost said Louisville. He's out of Louisville. I like Jawar Jordan. I like this tape a lot. I thought he was the best running back in the Louisville offense last year. I think he's got good lateral agility. I think he gets to top speed quickly. I think he's elusive in space. And I think he's a really nice complement to the aforementioned Joe Mixon. Damian Pierce to me runs like Joe Mixon. That's a spellback type situation. Jawar Jordan, he gets on the field and he's a change of pace type back. I think he'll get touches. I think he'll get an opportunity to flash. Here's another good one, folks. Here's another good one. And I bet he won't go in the first four rounds of your draft. And even if you're doing five rounds or a 16-teamer that does four or five rounds, Dylan Lobby out of New Hampshire, he goes to the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think this is really nice because otherwise Zamir White was safe. So Zamir White made it through this draft without any, you know, real competition before Dylan Lobby. I like Lauby's pass-catching ability. You can line him up in the slot. You can move him around the field. There's versatility here. I think that the Raiders will use him first as a pass catcher. They're also going to use him out of the backfield as a runner. They're also going to use him out of the backfield as a pass catcher. So I think there's a lot of options here. If you look at this Raiders coaching staff, you know, they draft, you know, Brock Bowers in the first round. They keep Zamir White. They refuse to trade Davante Adams. You can kind of see the vision coming together, and I think it's based around an idea of these, you know, kind of flexible type players that can move around the field. Pick 213th, the Los Angeles Rams took Jordan Whittington. Whittington has been this Devy guy forever, right? Because he had a high recruiting profile. He just never came into it. There were injuries. The athleticism, I think, is stunted. You know, when the Rams draft a player, they draft a player that fits a specific thing on their team, right? We've seen this over and over again. And with Jordan Whittington, you know, I think he's going to, you know, be kind of like this move wide receiver. I think they could use him kind of as like a quasi H-back type guy. He might have a couple pops, but, you know, I don't think we should be talking about him seriously for fantasy football purposes. But who I will talk about seriously for fantasy football purposes is Ryan Flournoy. Flournoy out of SEMO, Southeast Missouri State. I flipped on the Flournoy tape, and I know I've talked about this pre-draft. I liked it. I think he plays effortless when he played up from the FCS competition. He was playing up against Power 5 teams. He's got a great catch radius. He catches the ball in stride, keeps moving downfield. He accelerates really well. And in the Dallas Cowboys offense, listen, we've tried Michael Gallup. Didn't work. We've tried Jalen Tolbert. It didn't work. Flournoy complements Cooks. He complements Lamb. He could absolutely be the wide receiver 3 out there for this offense. Devin Leary goes to the Baltimore Ravens. I picked 218. I struggled with this pick, except I was texting my Ravens buddy, and I was saying, you know, it's not a scheme fit. You know, Leary, he's a little bit more of a pocket passer. You know, at least when Huntley was the backup, you know, you could understand that. Josh Johnson, you could understand that a little bit more. You know, Malik Cunningham, you know, you have mobility there. Devin Leary's got some mobility, but he's not, you know, he's not fitting that Lamar Jackson type athletic profile. But then, you know, I mentioned my Ravens buddy. He brought up a really good point. Devin Leary has the ability to hand off the ball to Derrick Henry. So I think that's what we're looking at here as his upside projection, that he's just, you know, if you're in a points per handoff league, Devin Leary, you know, could be a nice stash in case Lamar Jackson goes down. We're on to the seventh round, folks. We're on to the seventh round. I feel like I could do seven more here. Brendan Rice goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. Listen, is this a clean projection? No. Did I like Brendan Rice's tape? Also, no. But this is opportunity. You know, past Ladd McConkey and Josh Palmer, you know, Quentin Johnston doesn't have any guaranteed touches in this offense. You know what Quentin Johnston doesn't like doing based on his college tape? Blocking. You know what Brendan Rice is really good at based on his college tape? Blocking. All right. What is Harbaugh want to do in his run-first offense? He wants his wide receivers to block. There's a chance that Brendan Rice is more of a priority, you know, in terms of depth chart by the time we get to week one than Quentin Johnston. I'm not trying to just bury the guy, but you never should have drafted him in the first place. If you were listening to the Rookie Big Board last year, trust me, you would not have drafted him. 231 overall, Jaheim Bell, tight end? I feel like they announced it as a tight end, but they should have put a little inflection at the end of that here. Out of Florida State, I think the Pats are going to move him all around. If I was the New England Patriots, if I was a Patriots fan, I'd be happy with the Jaheim Bell, Jaheim Bell pick in the seventh round, because there's a lot of versatility, there's a lot of creativity. I think he's going to line up in line, he's going to line up split out, he's going to line up as an H-back. He could line up as a fullback, quite frankly, if the Patriots really wanted to get funky with it. They could put him in the backfield. I just don't know that the consistent volume is going to be there, so not somebody who I'm super interested in for fantasy purposes. Devon Vele out of Utah, wide receiver, went to the Broncos. Listen, we have Troy Franklin, we have Marvin Mims, we've got all the targets we need in the Denver offense here, so it's nothing left for you, Vele. Sorry, I'm going to go ahead and not consider you in drafts. Taj Washington, wide receiver, out of USC, goes to Miami. Let me guess, or I want you to guess, I should say. What do you think Taj Washington's best trait is? Yeah, he's fast. You nailed it, all right? He's fast. That's why he was drafted here into the McDaniel offense. I think, you know, they'll probably deploy him on special teams first. I think he's going to have to really, you know, punch his way up to get some targets in this offense. But definitely worth stashing if you're playing in leagues that go 60 or 72 picks deep. Absolutely, we'll get some Taj Washington. Just get a piece of that offense here. Michael Pratt. This one was tough for me. Michael Pratt goes off the board 245. I thought Michael Pratt was a day two pick. I'll tell you, I'll talk about my hits, and I'll talk about when I miss or when I'm, you know, off on my projection compared to what the NFL says. But Michael Pratt goes off the board 245 here to the Green Bay Packers. It's not the worst situation in the context of he has to beat out Sean Clifford for the QB2 job, and then you never know what happens when you're the backup quarterback, right? I think Pratt's the type of guy where if he gets his shot to start, you know, he's going to stick a claim, and then he's going to be considered a starting quarterback caliber player in the NFL. So again, if you're playing in a Superflex league, 72 picks deep, you know, Michael Pratt, you could do worse with that stash. I'm confident he'll beat out Sean Clifford for the QB2 job. Devin Culp, tight end out of Washington, solid hands. But, you know, he's going to be in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. They've already got Kate Otten. They've already got Payne Durham. This just feels like more of the same. So I'm not super excited about putting him into a spreadsheet. And then we have our final player here, and that's Cornelius Johnson, the wide receiver out of Michigan. We now know who the favorite son is of Harbaugh here, because he selected his Michigan guy. He also took Junior Colson earlier, but his offensive Michigan guy wasn't Blake Corum, it wasn't Roman Wilson, it was Cornelius Johnson. So he got his guy there at the end. You know, solid, can stretch the field. Think you could do worse with a super late round pick, but not necessarily going to be a priority addition for me. So that's my reaction here to every pick in day three, the fantasy reaction. Like I mentioned off the top, no better spot to be right now than reading the Rookie Big Board guide. But honestly, quite frankly, more importantly, you want to be in the Rookie Big Board Discord, because rookie drafts are kicking off today, like I said, for most folks. And the on-the-clock channel in the Rookie Big Board Discord is just going nuts because we're getting tagged consistently. Because what happens is you tell us, you know, you're on the clock, you drop the question, who you're debating between, and I'm going to give my insight, and about 20 other people are also going to give their insight, so you can feel confident making those picks. We're going to guide you through your rookie drafts. We're going to help you beat your league mates. We're going to help you win the offseason. We're going to do all of that over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. And I appreciate you checking out this episode of the Rookie Big Board.